Middays with Mannix and Mannix.
I was going to listen to that, but then I just carried on living my life.
With Jeff Mannix.
What kind of bear is best?
Black bear.
And Taylor Mannix.
I'm a Tony Romo fan and he retired, so now I bleed green. Go Birds!
Call 207-775-2217 or 1-866-811-9505.
Phone is ringing. Oh my God.
Every single thing that every fan does at home or at the stadium makes a direct impact in the game.
It's about to get all stupid up in here!
Middays with Mannix and Mannix begins now. Here's Jeff and Taylor.
The weather outside is weather.
It's called Two Brothers. Two Brothers. It's just called Two Brothers.
You're Larry Bird.
Here we go. Goodall Park about to erupt. 0-2 the count on Stern. Gifford fires. And there for strike three. The summer of Sanford is complete. For the first time since 2008, the Mariners have won the NECBL championship.
That's how it sounded at Goodall just a couple of nights ago as the Sanford Mariners closed out their third ever New England Collegiate Baseball League championship, defeating the Danbury Westerners in the decisive third game, 12-5. He's been a regular guest of the show here for the last number of years, but it's the first time we actually get to introduce him as a Sanford Mariners championship-winning head coach, Nick Lopes. Congratulations, man. Welcome back. How does it feel to hear NECBL champion Sanford Mariners?
Oh, wow. I like that, Jeff. That's the best introduction I've ever gotten from you, so I appreciate it. Feels good.
Yeah, I bet it does. And for you, Coach, especially, and I mean, we'll obviously talk about all the good things too, but it felt like it had to be that much more sweet this year, especially after how it tasted at the end of 2024 with the Newport goals. I know Jeff and I were talking to you then. Obviously now, though, a much better finish in this thing, man. How did that 2024 run maybe influence and make this one here in 2026 that much more sweet for you, my friend?
Yeah, no question about it. It's been a long 6 years. These summers are grinds, and it's a lot of travel, a lot of time away from family, and a lot of sacrifice. It's certainly a lot of fun, don't get me wrong, but yeah, there's been a number of seasons that end in heartbreak, for lack of better words. And yeah, you mentioned 24. That was certainly probably the biggest heartbreak of all when we were so close. And yeah, just to get it done on the home soil in front of these fans who've waited. You know, I complain waiting 6 years. These guys have waited three times that long. It's been 18 years since that cup's been back in Sanford, and actually the first one to ever happen at Goodall Park. The other two championships that were won were both on the road. So really cool to get that done at home. For the first time ever.
I'm sure it was. You know, I mean, I know you've probably been going through a lot here over these last few days since this victory on Wednesday night, but I'd love to know kind of what you saw from the dugout once that final out happened, and not only reaction of your players, but reaction of all those fans that you're talking about who've been waiting for 18 years to see the Faye Vincent Senior Cup back in Sanford.
Yeah, it was quite the night and quite the moment when that final out was recorded. Watching the players was the best part, just standing back and you know, realizing that they're the guys that get it done. You know, championships start with great players, and they're the biggest reason why this was possible and why this happened this summer. I think any good coach would say that. And you got to realize that, and you got to understand that. That's really where it starts. But it goes so much deeper than that, I think, in this organization, from, you know, chairman of the board, Jake Willette. Guy's been with this organization and put so much into it for so many years. To finally get one for him, it feels really good. His twin brother, Josh Willette, who handles the host family coordination. You know, that's these guys staying up here. It's not possible without him. Aaron Isaac, general manager, how can you forget that guy? You know, bringing me these guys every summer and assembling these rosters that we can go out and compete and have a chance. So seeing those guys and, you know, putting your arms around them and, you know, kind of letting out that relief of, you know, finally getting this accomplished, is a really special feeling. Just to name a few.
Yeah, no, I can only imagine. And it obviously wasn't easy getting it done in this series. The Danbury Never Say Die dudes, as I called them, in that game two, came back, couple home runs. You guys have to come back here. Then on top of that, all in between game two, you had a postponement due to field conditions. Talk a little bit about the adversity, because it feels like, I mean, in the middle portion of that week, you guys went through quite a bit of adversity before you came back and actually hoisted that.
Yeah. I mean, I'll lay it all out for anybody that was part of it, and you'll see what I mean in a minute, but anybody that was part of it will never forget it. It was not a fun experience, but it's going to make for one heck of a story. So my days are all jumbled, so I don't even know. I think it was Monday we went down there and we were supposed to play.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's correct. Yeah, Monday.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
We went down there. Okay, thanks. And we show up, everything's fine. We take our batting practice, and then, you know, their coach and their general manager come up to me and say, "Oh, you know, we're going to throw the tarp on the field. There's a little cell coming through. It should pass. We'll be good." So that's, you're used to that. It's like, all right, bring it on. So we all go to the bus, and we just watch the sky open, and it was only for about 25 minutes, maybe, but it just completely ruined the field. And they had the tarp, but you got to put the water somewhere, and they had to dump it in the outfield. And the outfield was just a sponge. There was standing water everywhere.
Wow.
We give them a lot of credit. You know, they got the leaf blowers out. They went through all efforts to try to get the field playable. But, you know, both coaching staffs, GM, you know, we walked through the outfield and deemed it was just unplayable. So, luckily, you know, great organization, the Sanford Mainers, the executive board approved that we could, you know, stay down there that night. So we got hotel rooms, because that would not have been fun going back 4 hours back to Maine, then just have to turn around and do it again the next day. So we got a hotel close by, spent some time at the Danbury Mall the next day, killing some time before the game, and then showed up. And obviously in the game, it was a heartbreaker, and up 7-6, blew a couple 5-run leads. Up 7-2 late, gave it away, up 7-6, but going into the ninth, and they hit that tying home run, and it was like, to be completely honest with you guys, it was like deja vu from 24. That was the exact situation in Newport. Up 7-6, one out, two outs to get to claim a championship. And when that ball went over the fence, I was thinking, man, I've seen this movie before, and I didn't like how it ended, so... the difference, though, was, you know, we had life the next day, and it wasn't game three. It's only game two. So that's sorry for the long, drawn-out story, but that's – oh, and I forgot the best part about that. Monday, when we originally went down there to play them, the organization purchased a fan bus. So there were 38 diehard Sanford fans that hopped on a bus, went to Danbury, Connecticut, sat in the rain for 30 minutes, watched us try to get the field playable, and then – went home.
It was
quite the trip to Danbury.
Hopefully there were some good snacks on that fan bus.
I hope there wasn't a lot of good moods, I'll tell you that much.
No, I can certainly imagine there. And ahead of game three, of course, we talked with the broadcast voice of the Mainers, Cole Purvis, and I know he kind of led us to believe that you certainly were going for it to try to not even have to play a third game in that series. Tell us a little bit about going into that ninth inning. It looked to me certainly as well that you were trying to finish that off in two, and you'd worry about game three if it got there. What was that kind of the plan? Were you trying your absolute best to not have to play a third game?
It was, and that's a great question, because there's so much that goes into, you know, managing what you do and the decisions you make. So the hard part is when you look back, especially after losses, when things don't go your way, you're always second guessing, and you can always play that card. It's not fair for yourself. Situation. There were a couple of stuff that did have Andrew Middleton available. Sam Young was tired. Closer, he worked hard to this point, but he was tired. There was no question about it. So I think the toughest decision going into that ninth inning was, well, do I just go out with Mitty and let him try to get those last three out? Risky in a very small ballpark down there. And my fear was, you know, a typical can of corn pop-up is a home run at that park down there. So, you know, you're worried that somebody gets on time, ties the game, we go to extras, and then there goes your ace for a possible tomorrow. You want to win the day and win the moment, not have the game three, like you said, but at the same time, you can't handcuff yourself. So that was a big debate, and, you know, Sam Young looked great in the eighth inning, and he was a guy a couple times this summer. He had some 6 to 9 out saves for us, and he seemed to always get better as it went along. But, you know, tip your cap to them. They got on time for a couple of his heaters in the ninth and didn't end how we wanted. But yeah, so I guess yes and no. It's just one of those things where you got to make a decision, and it ended up working out in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing, too, that I thought Cole brought a good point up of is maybe having that home field advantage for you guys, because the way that you play the game of baseball, for instance, you look at game two, you guys really drove your runs in producing hit after hit after hit. It wasn't the long ball, whereas Danbury, well, one of the more better home run hitting teams because of their home ballpark, was able to take advantage late on those home runs. But at Goodall Park, you can't win with the long ball particularly. I mean, sure, you can, but it's a more of a pitcher-friendly park, as we've talked to you about. Do you think having home field in this postseason, especially in this championship series, played that kind of an advantage, especially for the way that you and Danbury each produce runs?
Yeah, it's no excuse, because both teams have to play in the dimensions. Goodall is a graveyard. You typically don't see a lot of home runs, not a lot of long balls there. Danbury leads the league in home runs, and that's not it's not a knock on them, but the field definitely plays a factor into that. And throughout my 6 years managing in this league, I've seen some football scores at that park, and it just is what it is. And you know, even when you go up 5-0 early, a 5-0 lead at that park feels like a 2-0 lead if we're at home. You know, so it wasn't actually the long ball during the game that shot us in the foot. It was the it was the free passes late in the game when we had that 7-2 lead. We put a lot of guys on for free, and it didn't necessarily make them earn what they got, which was a shame, because no leads ever protect. And I always preach that to my guys when we play at that place. But it was sadly just free passes and miscues that kind of let that lead slip away. And then I ran out of luck there in the ninth. The long ball got to us.
Absolutely. And you know, speaking of taking advantage of mistakes, I mean, Danbury certainly in game three handed you a bunch of opportunities. Their pitching staff walked 7 batters, and they committed 6 errors in the field. So, I mean, to see a game kind of end the way that it did with that 12-5 score, I mean, it is incumbent upon the winning team to take advantage of the opportunities they're given. And boy, oh boy, it certainly looked like your team did that, and they did it to a player just about there in that decisive game.
Yeah, it was a back-and-forth battle all night. Up until that big inning we had, mm-hmm. we were able to hold on to it. Gabe Gifford, probably with the pitch performance of the summer, those 4 innings of scoreless ball, in that atmosphere, in that moment, that's one of the gutsiest performances I've probably ever witnessed there. Kudos to these guys for battling and finishing the fight. I had said to my assistants, probably halfway through that game, they had the lead 2-0. We took it back 3-2. Then we got up 5-2. They tied it at 5. But when that was all going on, I told them halfway through the game, I said, man, isn't this fun? And I said, there was just this sense of confidence that no matter what, how much they got up or how many times the lead changed, you know, the fact that we had the last crack at it, that we were the home team, I just didn't see it going any other way. And these guys kept saying it too, you know, I think they really, that was part of it. They really believed in themselves and each other. It was always the me.
Yeah, well, and Coach, I'll have some fun with you here on this one. Couldn't help but notice the NECBL put out all its awards, and you guys didn't get on the award list at all, but that Faye Vincent Senior Cup trophy is a lot better than any other one they handed out the other couple days, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll take it. We'll take it. That's that cup is what you play for. The accolades are cool, and it's nice to be recognized. And, you know, certainly the people that were named for those awards, you know, tip your cap to them. They had great summers.
Yeah, and I know you got to look at one of them, and Gavin Donahue, who got most improved player. He was a Westerners guy. What did you think of him? You obviously got him up close and personal in that championship game.
Yeah, it was both teams had really cool stories, and they were very similar in a sense. This year's Westerners team remind me of, honestly, some of the teams that I've managed at Stanford in the past, where you have the really tough start, where I think they started the summer 3-10. But then at a certain point, you know, guys stick around, they start believing, nothing's go right. And they became the hottest team in the NECBL from, I don't know, June 6th or July 6th on, and rolled through their playoffs, their side of the bracket. And they had some good energy and some good grit on their side. It's a team down there. They were full of Connecticut guys, and, you know, we're full of Maine guys. So you got that. And then they also had a lot of returning players. A lot of the guys on that team, their assistant coach, Billy Gerlot, he was a former player for them. So they had a lot of that. You know, they believed they had a strong fan base that supported them, got behind them. So it really felt like two teams that had a lot going on for them going in. A lot of the same things going, cooking on each side. And the series spoke for that with just how much of a fight it was and a battle. It was chippy, really chippy, really physical, not physical, but, like, you know, just mentally taxing and just chirpy and chippy. Really fun to be a part of.
Yeah, you mentioned the Connecticut connection there. Should give a shout out to Sacred Heart, because that is where Gavin Donahue plays. Mm-hmm. So there's that Connecticut connection already, Coach, that you're speaking of.
Yep. And him and his twin brother, they know they're good players, and certainly help lead them there, middle of the bat guys for them. And yeah, they were just tough. There was no fighting them. They weren't gonna roll over. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know this team for the Mainers this year was a pretty experienced team. A lot of guys who had been through this before with you and kind of understand what it takes to be a part of the Mises, as you guys love to call yourselves. But tell me a little bit about how the process to build the roster for next year is going to be, and maybe how many of these guys you can actually bring back for 2027.
That's a really good one. It was funny because there's a few guys on this team that were part of that 04 team. And that's something that's incredibly rare in collegiate summer baseball, is to have a guy in the same summer ball organization for 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
And we had a few of those: Ryan Colbin, Josh Kopetsky, TJ Curley. So they've kind of been through that heartbreak, and they've seen a lot. And, like, Ryan Colbin told me right before the game when we were at early work, he said, you know, Lops, I've waited 3 years for this one night. And it's like, wow. When you say it like that, because he realizes this is the end for him. That was his final game ever probably playing in the NECBL. Yeah. So, pretty special. And to get to your second part of your question with the returners, I think that's something we pride ourselves on at Stanford, making this experience one that guys want to come back to. And just talking to the guys post-game and then in the last couple of days, there seems to be a lot of them that want to come back. And I've already echoed it to Izzy, but the way I feel, you know, anybody that stuck around this whole summer and was there hoisting that trophy at the end with us, I'm always in their corner, and they're always welcome back if they have eligibility and that's something they want to do. So that's definitely where we'll start in next year's roster assembly, and then build the pieces. Okay, I got Izzy. I got the best in the business, kind of assembling the team around it. So, you get me excited already. I want to enjoy this a little longer, but not too much longer, because we'll definitely have a target on our back next summer, and we look to go and try to have some more success and do it the right way.
Yeah, and you mentioned Aaron Iserik. I'm excited. We can actually confirm. I just looked at my email. He's going to be on Monday at 11:30 to talk with us a little bit about your guys' season. We haven't had him on yet this year. He's usually on once a year, but it'll be fun to actually have him on, Jeff, at the end of a championship season.
Yeah,
so it'll be fun to talk to him.
I'm golfing with him in about 34 minutes here.
Great.
So
we'll send our regards.
Indeed.
I'll text you whether or not to bring it up Monday.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
I like that.
You guys talk about it on air. If not, just don't mention it.
Yeah, we won't even tell. Well, you're too little too late. You already mentioned you're going to be playing 18, so all the people now are going to be wondering
away,
at 11:30 how he played. You put the pressure on him now.
Cat's out of the bag. We'll see.
Indeed, cat's out of the bag, and one season ends for you, but now you're the SMCC baseball coach again as well, and 27 days from the first game of the fall season. So from one right to another here, how are you preparing for your second stint now as the head coach of the Southern Maine Community College Seawolves?
Fired up, excited to go back home. And like you said, it's coming at us quick. The guys will move in the 27th. So been communicating with them, want to have all of our team meetings and let them know,
Now Nick Lops is in the woods. I think we might have lost him here once again. Hopefully he'll come back, maybe. But either way, great run once again here for the Sanford Mainers this season. Again, any CBL champions for just the third time in franchise history, winning in three games over the Danbury Westerners. Nick, once again, it's been great to talk to you all season long. We appreciate it. Best of luck with the SMCC baseball season coming up, that fall season that gets underway on September the 10th, so right around the corner. Nick, again, congratulations. Thanks so much for being here with us all season, and congrats to the Sanford Mainers, Faye Vincent Senior Cup champions in the NECBL in 2026. We will come right back. You've got Middays with Mannix and Mannix on a Finally Friday.